Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Kuf Yud Dalet. For Elchim Purim, everyone. We are in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are about halfway down the Amud, and the various limudim learned from the Psukim of Lo Sivash Gadiba Chalev Imo, mentioned three times in the Torah, the Isser of not cooking a kid in its mother's milk, and the various limudim drushes that are derived from the fact that it's mentioned three times. We're going to start again from the words Amr Shmuel on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We started already here yesterday, but let's start again. Amr Shmuel, the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel. It's about a third of the way down, even less. First words in the line. Gidi l'rabos esachelev. So the Gidi, the kid mentioned in the Torah. Kid, of course, meaning the young goat. The kid mentioned in the Torah. So what is that coming to include? So again, there are three mentions of it. So there are three possibilities of inclusion. So one is l'rabos esachelev, one including the fat of the animal. The fat of the animal is considered basar l'gabi, the halachos of basar b'cholav. Number two, gidi l'rabos esamesa. Basar mesa, meaning nevela, animal that died without the benefit of a proper shechita. So if I took that meat and I cooked it together with milk, so one would be liable for the iser of basar b'chalav, of bishul basar b'chalav. Always have to keep in mind, and this is one of the complications of today's daf, and I'm going to admit today's daf is going to get a little bit complicated, just in terms of the arguments, as far as that are presented in the Gemara. The baseline halacha is pretty straightforward. But just keep in mind that not only are there... are we talking about one Isser, but we have to keep in mind that there are three separate Isser involved in the Isser of Basar B'chalav. Not eating Basar B'chalav, not cooking Basar B'chalav, and not getting benefit from Basar B'chalav. So over here, when we're learning the Gemara about the Mesa, about Basar Nevela, meaning we already know you can't eat it, meaning that's obvious, meaning it's an Isser Nevela. So what exactly is gained by making it Basar B'chalav? Well, actually, there's a lot to gain. Because not only would there be an Isser of Achila, there would also be an Isser of Hana as well. And admittedly, that part's true, and the Gemara doesn't address that part. And that part is only addressed later, after the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, just in terms of simply saying simple pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara over here says that we're including Basar Nevela, what we mean is that we're including Bishul Legabe Basar Nevela. Now there's an Isser in the Torah that if I have Nevela, I cannot cook it with milk. It's an Isser Daraisa to cook it with milk. Number three, Gedila Rabos is a shlil, and it comes to include a fetus. The fetus is considered meat legabe the halach of basar b'chalav in regard to the iser. Here we could say both of cooking and of eating. Okay, now gedi lahotzi es adam, gedi lahotzi es shalya, and gedi lahotzi es tameya. And now, as if there were more psukim to darshan, which there aren't because there are only a total of three, but we're going to go four more drushes in. One is lahotzi sadam to exclude blood. Blood is not considered meat legabe the halachas of basar b'chalav. Another one, gedi lahotzi ashilya, the placenta, the afterbirth that comes out together with the fetus. That also is not considered meat. And finally, gedi lahotzi satmeya, non-kosher animal. Meat of a non-kosher animal is not going to create basar b'chalav. Okay, so that was six drushes, three too many. The Gemara is going to note that in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, that's the meat side. Now we go to the milk side of the equation. Bachalev imo. V'lo bachalev zachar. Any milk expressed from a male. It's possible to express milk from a male. So that is not qualify as milk legab. The halach is abas b'chalav. Bachalev imo v'lo bachalev shchuta. Chalav milk of a shechted animal. Meaning the milk was expressed from the animal after it was shechted. That also does not qualify as milk. Legabe the halachas of basar b'chalav, and finally b'chalav imo velo b'chalav tameya. Milk derived from a non-kosher animal also is not going to result in the iser da'araisa of basar b'chalav. So, good. Those are the drushas of Shmuel. On the milk side, he kept it within reason. Three psukim, three drushas, good. On the meat side, he went overboard. He went six. So hatlasa gedik siviv anan shisa darshin and kasav Shmuel. So the Gemara says like this. This is how really it's going to work for Shmuel. Iser chalal iser v'iser chala chaylev umesa mechad kra nafke. So the Gemara says, first of all, Shmuel holds iser chalal iser. Then one iser can superimpose on top of another iser. Again, like I said yesterday, a lengthy discussion in the seventh parak of Chulin, where the Gemara goes back and forth over whether we do say it, we don't say it. Even if we don't say it, are there exceptions to the rule? A very lengthy discussion there. Here, we'll keep it nice and short, in a succinct discussion, in that the Gemara says that Shmuel maintains that we do say Isser Chalal Isser, that one Isser can superimpose on top of another Isser. So even though I already have the existing Isser of Chaylev, good, the Isser Basar B'Chalav can just simply impose on top of that. superimposed upon that. And we could say that regarding chalev, we could also say that regarding nevela as well. It doesn't matter what iser already exists. A second iser can come just simply and superimpose on top of it. Good, that's Shmuel. Dam nami lav gedihu. As far as blood, blood is self-evident, not part and parcel of the gedi. It's not the meat of the gedi. I don't need a drusha for that. Vishul yanami pirsha ba'amahu. And as far as shilya is concerned, so what are we talking about? That's just simply discharge of the animal, waste matter of the animal. And so the Gemara says, I don't even need a drusha for that as well. So pashlu trei. So now I have two drushas. You talk about coupon clipping of the Gemara. So we just basically were able to take of the drushas, four of them, and we consolidated. Chalev and Nevela, he holds Isser Chalal Isser. I only need one drusha for the two of them. The next, Dam and Shilya, self-evident. I don't even need a drasha for those. And now, what do I do with my last two drashas? Good. So now that I've already taken care of four, and I have two drashas left, we're good. So, Trei Chala Rabba, so Shlil, the Chala Mute Behema Tameo. One's coming to include the fetus, and the other one is coming to exclude a non-kosher animal. Okay. So far, so good. Almost. The Gemara continues. Now the Gemara says, I'm bothered by the following, in that I know that Shmuel does not subscribe to the idea that one Isser can superimpose on top of another. Consider the following: a Kohen who's Tamei who eats Truma which is Tameya. Now here we know the halacha: if a Kohen who is in a state of Tuma were to eat Truma that is Tahor, that's a Misa Bidei Shamayim Isser. If a Kohen who is Tahor eats Truma, which is Tameya, that's an Isser. Let's call it right now an Isser Aseh. Right? The easiest way to say it is a significantly lighter Isser. Now, let's say I have the Truma already being Tameya. I'll keep it easy. We'll go sequentially. The Truma already being Tameya, and then afterwards the Kohen becoming Tamei. He already is prohibited from eating the Truma because the Truma already is Tameya. And now he himself is Tamei. So in order to kick in the second Isser, we're going to have to subscribe to the rule of Isser Chalal Isser. And meanwhile, we know, and note, by the way, who said this? Shmuel said this. He's not going to be subject to the Isser of Misa B'dei Shamayim. Shenemar of Meso Bo, ki yechalaluhu prat lezu shem mechulalas ve'omedes. So you see, he's not going to be subject to the Isser of Misa because there already is an existing Isser. Hence, what do you see that according to Shmuel, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, which goes against what the Gemara suggested just moments earlier. Gemara gives a couple of suggestions. One possibility is that his general position is that one Isser can impose on top of another Isser. The Truma example, we're going to localize that example. That's specific to Truma because the Torah says, Umesu Bo. Bo is a miut. So that means that's the exception to the rule. The rule is, Isser Chalal Isser, but not by Truma. Another possibility, says the Gemara, is that no. Really, his general position is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, and Basa Bechalav is the exception. Why should Basa Bechalav be the exception? Because the Torah has a ribuy of Gedi. And the Gedi comes to tell me that normally we do not look at one Isser imposing on top of another Isser. Masha'enkin, when it comes to Basa B'chalav, that can happen, but that's a drasha. So that's the exception, not the rule. Ibai Sim, the Gemara gives a third approach. Hadideh hadirabi. The Gemara says, look, it could very well be that Shmuel's own position is Ein Isser Chalal Isser, or let me say it the other way. The Shmuel's own position is that Isser Chalal Isser, but when he's quoting his Rebbe, Rebbe Lazar, so there, his Rebbe's of the opinion of Ein Isser Chalal Isser. Okay. Numerous ways to try to iron out that seemingly inconsistent position of Shmuel. Continuing in the Gemara, in Kufi Gimel Amud Beis, we are at the first wide line. V'aymine Rav Achdubuy ba'ami me Rav. Ha'mevasha b'chalev gedi shelo hinika. No, I was right the first time. Ha'mevasha b'chalev gedi shelo hinika mahu. What if I were to cook in the milk of a goat that has not yet nursed its own child. So now, so the Gemara says, for that we can go back to what Shmuel said. Remember what Shmuel said? That if we were able to express milk out of a male animal, so that does not qualify as milk. What's the clear implication? Zachru de la lasi lechlal. Aim. Avahai kevin de ba lechlal aim aser. Yeah, exactly. Because the zachar has no potential of being able to lactate. Masha'enkin, when it comes to the mother, even though she currently is not lactating, and she simply hasn't lactated yet, but by virtue of the fact that she can, so that would qualify her to be considered a aim, and so therefore it would be a violation of the Isra Basa B'chalav. Itmar. Hamavasho Chalav B'chalav. Here we go. Okay, if I were to cook milk with the forbidden fats of an animal, now we already learned just a moment earlier that according to Shmuel, Chalev is included in the Isra Basa B'chalav. Meaning, so we know that already according to Shmuel, if I took Chalev and Chalev and cook them together, I'm in violation of the Isra. Okay, but that's Shmuel's position. The Gemara now moves on from there. Hamevasho Chalev B'chalev, Rabbi Omer. I'm sorry, Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. So there's a machlokas amongst the Amorayim. Charam aloke v'charam ayinu loke. So are you going to be subject to Malkus? Machlokas Amorayim. Lema ba'akim iflagi. And the Gemara says, and look, we can break down this machlokas in a number of different ways. Number one, demanda amar loke kasav yisr chalal yisr. So one who says that you're going to get malchus subscribes to the yisr, that one yisr is going to impose on top of another yisr. Umanda amayna loke kasav yisr chalal yisr. And the Gemara says, and the way, and the one who says that you're not going to get malchus is just simply subscribing to the idea that once something is already yisr, I cannot superimpose another yisr on top of it. Now, the Gemara, I did go quickly through the Gemara, and a little bit too quickly. Because think about what we're talking about over here. When we're talking about the first Isser, we're talking about Chalev. What is the Isser regarding Chalev? The Isser by Chalev is only eating it. We're not talking about eating. We're talking about cooking the Chalev together with milk. So there could already be an Isser of eating Chalev, but that shouldn't affect the Isser of cooking of Chalev together with milk. That's a separate action. It's not even the same act. So on this now brings us to the next part of the Gemara. Lo. We could say that really the truth is that one Isser will not be Chal on top of another Isser. So, look, certainly we're going to say like this. If I ate Chalev by itself, or if I ate Chalev cooked with milk, it's one Isser. And everybody agrees. Because they're on the Isser of Achila, so we already know that you're starting with the Isser of Chalev, and now you want to add another Isser because of Basar B'Chalav? No room. No room for a second Isser on Achila. Now, ki pligi abishol. Here comes now the machlokas, and that's bishol. Man damar loke chadi surahu. The one that says that you are going to get malchus, how does he understand? He understands this to be one Isser. Now, when the Gemara says one Isser, it means like this. Meaning, bishol and Achila, keep them separate from one another. When there is an Isser of Chalev to eat it, that's just simply one Isser, and isolate that one Isser. By Basar B'Chalav, there's a totally separate Isser, and that's the Isser of Bishul. So just because there's already an existing Isser of Chalev does not mean or impact the Isser regarding Bishul, because there's literally two separate Isserim. Umanda amayinu loke, lahachi afka rechman lahachila b'lashem Bishul. And the one that says you're not going to get Malkus is because he understands that there is an inherent relationship between Achila and Bishul. Achila and Bishul are not two separate Isurim regarding Basar B'Chalav. They are actually, I'm not going to say one in the same. They're not one in the same. One is eating and the other is Bishul. But they are closely linked and related. Consider, and we've made this point so many times, and we're going to make it now again. Consider that when the Torah introduces us to the Isur of eating Basar B'Chalav, what does the Torah say? The Torah does not say lo sochlu Basar B'Chalav. The Torah says lo sevashel Basar B'Chalav. That's talking about the Isur of Bishul. And the Torah uses Bishul to describe Achila. So you see that Bishul and Achila in Basar B'Chalav are linked, are totally connected. And so therefore, if I cook Chalev and Chalev, which is already Asr, and even though there's no Isser of Bishul Chalev, but I'm not going to tack on the Isser of Basar B'Chalav, even though Basar in this case is Chalev, and even though Chalev is already Asr. And why not? Because the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Chalav is connected to the Isser of Achila Basar B'Chalav. And once there's no Isser of Achila Basar B'Chalav in this particular context, because the Chalev being used is already Asr, so there's also going to be no Isser de Oraisa of Chalev, of Bishul Basar B'Chalav. Okay. Admittedly, that part's a little bit tricky, but basically what the Gemara is sitting on is the nature of the relationship between the Isurim of Bishul Basar B'Chalav and the Isur of Achila Basar B'Chalav.
Let's say he doesn't eat it. He cooks it.
Right.
Cooks it.
Right.
And he leaves it.
So that's a wonderful...
He should be over on Bishul. No?
That's a wonderful question, and it really speaks to what is the relationship between Bishul and Achila. Right? Some are of the opinion. The Kesef Mishnah talks this way. And in the Shita of Rambam, that the Isra of Bishul is really a geder min HaTorah not to come and eat it. So in other words, clearly, if you speak in that kind of language, clearly the relationship between the two is a powerfully strong relationship, like the Gemara is articulating over here. Kevan, as we turn now to the top of Kuf Yudal Marav, Kevan da al achila lo laki, abishul nami lo laki, and good. And the Gemara succinctly stated what we just said. That because you're not going to get a malchus for the eating, because it's already chalev, so you're also not going to get malchus on the bishul as well. Again, the relationship, the strong relationship between the two. The Gemara says, or we could do this one more way. And that is, again, we're cooking chalev and chalev together. And what kind of onshim are we talking about? On the cooking now, in our third approach of the Gemara, so we're going to say that really, truth be told, everyone agrees that there is malchus for bishul. Because again, there's no iser of bishul on chalev. So when I cook the chalev with chalev, this is a totally new iser. And we have not superimposed it on top of another iser. So kipligi achila, what happens now that I take the chalev and chalev and I eat the two that were cooked together? So am I going to get malchus on the eating? Now mind you, of course, that it's chalev. So if I get a hasra on the chalev, obviously you're going to get malchus. But what if the person who's watching you do this doesn't give you a hasra on the chalev? And he only gives you a hasra on the basar b'chalev. So now, is there an iser achilas basar b'chalev? So man damrei no loke, dahayin iser chalal iser. So the one who says that you're not going to get malchus is very easy to understand. There already is an iser achila on this item, i.e. the chalev. So there cannot be a second iser of achilas basar b'chalev. And the Gemara now presents over here, look, you're going to get malchus on achila basa b'chalav. Why? There's already an existing iser of chalev. So the Gemara over here now is going to turn the relationship around. Because you're going to get malchus on the bishul, which everyone agrees to, so therefore you're also going to get malchus on the achila as well. Either there's already an existing iser, that's true. But there's now a new iser of bishul basa b'chalav. I'm sorry, of achila basa b'chalav. I would say ein iser chala iser, that's also true. But because the Torah introduces achila with the with the expression of bishul, so that means to say that this is not a standard achila. This is achila which is a derivative of bishul, and so therefore it is considered a new iser, and therefore it's going to be chal on top of it.
Again, the other one, it's an iser chomer.
That's an excellent point. Right? It's not discussed in the Gemara, but certainly it's discussed after the Gemara. Let me just reiterate the point. The point is that Basar B'chalav should impose on top of the Yisr of Chalav because Basar B'chalav represents more. It's not right, it's more Chamor. It's not just Achila, it's also Hana as well. And so, okay, it's just an excellent point. Ibai Sema, the Gemara is not done yet. We're almost done. Ibai Sema, mar machada v'lo pligi. Or it could very well be that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were just simply never arguing. One was talking about the bishul, the other one's talking about the achila, and there really is no, there were just no, they weren't debating at all. Okay, adkan. So far, where do we stand right now? Cooking chalev with chalav, so we have could be a machlokas between Rabbi Amin and Rav Asi, could be that there's no machlokas, but a discussion in the Gemara, that we could say clearly, a discussion in the Gemara in terms of whether or not there is an iser malchus for cooking the two together, because chalev is considered meat, although it's already prohibited. There is also a discussion, if I eat the two that were cooked together, is there going to be iser of achila basa b'chalev? Good. Meitzvah, the Gemara is going to challenge based on the following brisa. I'm a vashel b'mei chalav pater. If I cook meat and milk, but the milk I used over here, which is milk that was separated. Now, when I separate it, so I separate it into the fatty part, the curds, and the liquid part. Basically, it's essentially water, and that's what we call in English here, the whey. So I separate it now into my curds and whey. And over here, I took the whey. Okay, so it is basically almost like the water of the milk, if you will. And I cooked that. I cooked the meat in that. So pater. So the brisa over here says that you're not in violation of basar b'chalav. Now the word pater certainly gives the implication that I wouldn't do it. And right, I wouldn't recommend it. Don't do it. But it's not iser basar b'chalav. Chalav, by definition, has to be the fatty milk. Okay, what if it's fat-free milk? Is that may chalav? I don't know the answer, but at least I appreciate the question. But anyway, dam shebishlo b'chalav, if blood was cooked together with milk potter, again, that's not basa b'chalav, as we already established in the previous amud, blood is not considered meat. If I were to cook any of the other parts of the animal, the non-meat parts of the animal, bones and sinews and hooves and horns that were cooked together, oh, by the way, flip that around, horns and hooves, that were cooked together with milk, so once again, pater, that's not going to be considered basa b'chalav. So again, it's very simple. The idea is very simple. For meat and milk, I need meat, right? The edible, fleshy part of the animal. And for milk, I need milk, meaning the fatty substance that comes out of the mother. Good. And anything short of that is not going to be an issur basa b'chalav min haTorah. Again, rabbinically, certainly, you get the feeling that's asa mid rabbanan, but not in issur d'oraisa. You'll forgive me. It's too pragmatic a question. Meaning the Gemara is just dealing with the conceptual idea that hooves, right? The hooves are not considered not considered basar. Now all this so far has been good information, but not relevant to our discussion. Meaning the Gemara didn't bring the brisa in because of anything we just saw, but based on the upcoming part of the brisa. If I have any meat which is asar, either the Kohen had a bad machshava when doing the karban, having a machshava of either chutz zman or chutz mkamo, or the basar of the karban was left over beyond its allotted time, or the basar of the karban becomes tameh. These are all your basic disqualifications of the meat of a karban. And when we say disqualification, we also mean that now it's asar. One's not allowed to eat these pieces of meat. Shebishlam b'chalav, and I cook them together with chalav chayav. So one is going to be subject to the chiyuv. And over here in this brisa, the sense that you get is that there's going to be an iser, even though there's already an existing iser. And isn't this going to be a kasha? And the Gemara says, it doesn't have to be a kasha. Haitana savra iser, chalal iser. Look, you're quoting a brisa. Who's the author of the brisa? What does he hold? It could very well be the author of the brisa. Just simply holds iser, chalal iser. And we're subscribing to the rule of ein iser, chalal iser. So even though the brisa could be brought as a question, but of course, we could just simply put the brisa aside because the brisa is not necessarily where we're holding at. Okay. Hamavash b'mei chalav, we mentioned now cooking meat with whey. So the Gemara now continues this discussion. Hamavash b'mei chalav pater, mesayil Reish Lakish did none. Now Reish Lakish makes the following comment on a Mishnah Machshirin. The Mishnah writes, mei chalav, harein kechalav, that whey is milk. That's the Mishnah Machshirin. V'hamochel hareu kishemen, and the liquidy part of the olive, not the juice so much, but more of the water and basically the ooze of the olive. So Arei Kushemen, but nevertheless it has the status of shemen of olive oil. And now, basically the watery parts of milk is milk, the watery parts of olive oil is still considered olive oil. That's the Mishnah Machshirin. We're not done yet. Amrei Shlakish lo shanu al alachshir, says Rayim. That's true, but that's true legabe hechshir. Meaning vis-a-vis the halacha of a fruit, or any food for that matter, is not going to be makabel tuman first until it first comes into contact with a liquid. What is a liquid? There are seven liquids of that we know through, based on Torah Shabbat Peh, seven liquids that are going to make a food mukhshir lakabel tuma, susceptible now to tuma. Two of those liquids are milk and olive oil. And in this particular halacha, so whey is considered milk. Mm-hmm. And in this particular halacha, the watery oozing, the watery secretions of the olive is considered olive oil. Avaling and bishul basa b'chalav mechalav ena kechalav. But Reish Lakish says unequivocally that when it comes to mechalav, that is not an isra min haTorah to cook that together with meat. It's not milk legabe basa b'chalav. So legabe which halacha we're talking about? So we change. Meaning legabe machshirin. Whey is considered milk. Lagabe basa b'chalav, whey is not considered milk. Right? Not the Gemara's discussion, but a really interesting discussion. I'm just going to bring it up. The mei chalav, the whey that comes out of the animal. I mean, the whole milk comes out of the animal. But the whey that's separated from the milk that comes out of the animal. So is there a heter to drink that? Meaning, can we consume it? Why in the world would you think that you cannot consume it? It's a really interesting answer. Again, it's a possibility. Eivor min achai. Meaning that it is, I know.
Oh, is that an
eiver? So for milk, there's a heter. Meaning the Gemara elsewhere discusses what exactly is a heter. How do we know that we're allowed to eat the milk that comes out of an animal? One of the sources, by the way, is basa b'chalav. Meaning by virtue of the fact that you can't eat basa b'chalav would indicate that you can eat chalav by itself.
Yes.
Once we've now taken the mei chalav and put it off the table and said that it does not qualify as chalav vis-a-vis basa b'chalav, so what is now mei chalav? It is a derivative of the animal. It's something coming off of the animal. Again, it's a consideration. It's a halacha.
It's not a unit by itself in any shape or form.
Understood. I kid you not. Okay, I know it's Purim. I know people are prone to, you know, to come up with humor in Purim. But it's
yeah,
okay.
But then comes up the question.
I'm sorry, I even brought.
Can you drink whey after the
bus? Right. I'm sorry, I even brought it up. Good. Let's go on. Tanu Rabbanan. We are now going to continue in the Gemara. We are halfway down to Kuf Yud Aleph. Aleph bechalav imo, ein li ela bechalav imo. Bechalav par v'racha minayin. Now, the Torah, once again, gives an unusual presentation of this Isser in the Torah. Lo sevasha gadi bechalav imo. Do not cook a kid is a goat, in its mother's milk. So far, as we read the Torah, we know that there's an Isser of not cooking meat and milk when the meat is made up of a goat. Good. That's one animal. There are many other animals, and in fact, in our diet nowadays, we don't do much goat eating, right? We like cows. We like, at least I like sheep. So but that's it. In other words, how do I know the Isser Basa B'Chalav applies to other animals as well? So par v'racha minayin. And the Gemara right now is starting off nice and small. Meaning, I know already in yesterday's daf in the Mishnah, we talked about the idea. Maybe it applies to chayes. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it applies to birds. Maybe it doesn't. But we're starting off right now super literal. How do I even know that it applies to parah v'rachel, cows and sheep? So Amar Kavachomer. So the Gemara now introduces us to the following argument: Uma imo shelo nesra imo beharva'a nesra imo bibishulo. Let's consider a kid and its mother. Again, every time I say the word kid over here, I mean baby goat. A kid and its mother. Now there's an iser of there is no iser of harva. Meaning, I could cross a kid with its mother. And here you don't have to take me super literally. I don't mean literally with its mother. I mean with a species like its mother. So you take the kid and you could cross it. You could breed it together with another goat. Which not only are you allowed to do, but that's what you're supposed to do. And meanwhile, you cannot take a kid and cook it in its mother's milk. Even though it's of a species that you're allowed to breed it with. So now, if I took another animal where there already is this idea of separation, that I'm not allowed to breed a kid with a cow, I'm not allowed to breed a kid with a sheep, and so already there's separation, so kal v'chomer, there should be separation regarding meat and milk as well. That's the argument. Now, tamalomer b'chalev imo. And the Gemara now concludes, the Braisa concludes with, and we have a drasha. And the drasha is b'chalev imo. Which means that anything that produces milk, there's an iser basa b'chalav. Cows produce milk, iser basa b'chalav. Sheep produce milk, iser basa b'chalav. Now, the construct of the Braisa was a little bit strange. Because the Braisa first brought in a kavachomer, seemingly happy with the kavachomer, and then it brought in a pasuk that makes the same point. Now, if the kavachomer was good, we don't need a pasuk. Okay. Huh? Is the pasuk better? To a certain degree, the answer is going to be yes. Meaning, first of all, we say Einon Shemin Adin. We don't punish based on a kavachomer, so the pasuk would be better in that regard. But the Braisa is bringing in the pasuk as if to say the kavachomer is no good. Okay, good. So that brings us to the next part of the Gemara. So the Gemara says the pasuk is funny because we already learned it through a kavachomer. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the kavachomer is no good, and it's no good from the ikar didina. There's a lengthy Rashi over here. I highly encourage you to go through it. Rashi over here talks about when you're making a kavachomer, there's the start of the kavachomer, and then of course that's our origination point, and then where we head with the kavachomer, right? The kal and the chomer. So over here, when the Gemara says that the kavachomer is no good from the origination point, that means even from the kal, it's no good. So kamais islami imo. So the Gemara says, where do we start from? Well, let's take a look at the halacha of its kid and its mother. So the Gemara says, Tamar beparish lo nesro ma b'shchita. You know, in our kula, there's a built-in chumrah. A kid and its mother. Do you know what is? Do you know what the relationship is between a kid and its mother? You can't shech the two on the same day. Now, a kid and a cow, a kid and a sheep, there is no iser of osav es ben los shechutu b'yamechad. So in our kula, there's a built-in chumrah, so you can't call that a kula, legabe, the chumrah that we want to head to. So tamalamer b'chalev imo, that's why the Braisa knew the kal chumrah was no good, even though the Braisa did not articulate what the problem was in the Braisa, and that's why we went to the pasuk, Adrasha. Tangidach, we're going to do the same thing again. B'chalev imo, ein li ela b'chalev imo, b'chalev achoso gedola minayin. Now, here, the Gemara gets a little bit tricky, as the Braisa over here is going to be talking about older sister and younger sister. Now, we can explain the Gemara one of two ways, and I say we, I really mean Rashi. So we can explain the Gemara one of two ways, and I'll do this way, this time around, I'm not going to remember what I did 7.5 years ago. That would be impressive, but I simply do not remember. So I'm going to go over here this time around, I'm going to go with Achosa Gedola being code for Para, and Achosa Katana being code for Rachel. Okay, so fine. Big sister, little sister. Right? These are just expressions of the Braisa. We're assuming big sister is a reference to a cow, little sister is a reference to a sheep. So, b'chalev imo in leila b'chalev imo b'chalev achoso gedola minayin. How do I know that it comes to include even a cow, a para? Amar kavachomer ma imo shenichnaso imo l'dir l'isaser nesra imo bibishol achoso shalo nichnaso imo l'isaser eno dishen esra imo bibishol. So let's consider now that when it comes to a kid and its own mother, where they're going to go into the same pen for the mitzvah, for the halacha of Meiser Behema. Annually, we take our animals that were born this year, we put them in a single pen, and we count. Every 10th animal is then going to have a kedusha of Meiser Behema. So I take a kid and its mother, and assuming they were born in the same year, which, by the way, that's exciting. We could have a kid and its mother being born in the same year. They only go through a 5-month gestation period. And you're going to have to assume that they're able to produce already by a really young age. Good. Let's assume all this. So anyway, so I have a kid and his mother being born in the same year. So there I'm going to put them in the pen together. I'm not going to take a kid and a cow and put them in the pen together. They're two different species. So, eino dinshin esraim obibishol. So again, it's the same idea which we stated earlier in our Kavach Homer. In a place where we have more connection, I still have to separate the meat and milk. In a place where I have less connection, meaning I don't put them in the same pen together for the mitzvah of Meister Behema, so certainly there has to be separation of one's meat and the other's milk. So Tamalamar Bechalev Imo, and again, same structure of the Braisa. I have a Kavachomer, seemingly a good one, and then we have a Pasuk also going to make the same point. Now, Vahalam Likra Ha'asile, so again, the Gemara, same question. You had a Kavachomer, which seemingly was good, and then you basically ignore the Kavachomer, you go to a Pasuk. What was wrong with a Kavachomer? Gemara articulates. Amri Rav Ashi Mishim Deikel Amemem Mikar Didina Pircha. Once again, the Kavachomer from its origination is no good. Because Me'echa Kamaisis Lami Imo Mali Imo Shekei Nesra Imo B'Shchita. Tomer Bachosik Gedol Shalom Nesra Imo B'Shchita. So Tomer Lomer Bachalev Imo. And again, it's the same Pircha that we made earlier. The starting point of the Kavachomer is the kid and its mother. A kid and its mother has the Yisra of Osav Esbeno. A kid and a cow do not have the Isser Vos of Espino. So already from the place where I thought it was more makel, it's not more makel. It actually has a chumra built into it. Kava chumra is no good. Ashka chana chosa gedola chosa katana minayin. So the Gemara says, okay, achosa gedola, I now know that there's an Isser of Basa b'chalav. What about achosa katana? And again, we're going to go with the pshat that achosa katana is going to be a reference to a sheep. So asya mi bene. So the Gemara says, we're going to learn it out through what's called a binyan av. A binyan av that we're going to use two sources for our binyan av, right? A binyan av mishnei ksuvim. Mehai tesi tesi mi imo mal imo shekei nesra imo b'shchita. So are we going to learn it from its own mother? Its own mother has already the built-in chomer of osav esbeno. Achos gedol tachiach mal achos gedol shol nechnas imo lidir liisaser. Now learning it from the cow, we already expressed that by a cow you have a built-in chomer, which is that I cannot put the kid and a cow in the same pen together for the mitzvah of Meiser Behema. So imoto chiyach. So then we're going to go back to its own mother. So I couldn't learn from either halacha by itself because of the built-in chumras to either halacha. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the two halachas, a kid and its own mother, a kid and its cow. I'm going to take the common denominator of those two points which we've established. There's already an isser, basar b'chalav, and now I'm going to say that anything that follows within the common denominator is going to have an isser, basar b'chalav, and that's how I include the Rachel. So the Gemara says, Yihachi achosik gadola nami teisimi beini. So the Gemara says, now can we do the same thing with the cow and learn it out through a binyan ad mishnei k'suvim? And achinami, the Gemara says, you are right. Ela b'chalavi molamali, mi baile l'chedetanya. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're right. So really the truth of the matter is that I could have done this in the other direction as well. So as far as Bechalev Imo, Ein li ela Bechalev Imo. Hi atzma Bechal Baminayin. The Gemara says, what about the following halacha? We now know that I cannot cook a kid in its mother's milk. I know I can't cook a kid in a cow's milk. I know I can't cook a kid in its sheep milk. How about cooking an animal in its own milk? So in other words, we're going to milk the animal, and now we're going to cook it in its very own milk. How do I know that that's also Minayin Amar Kavachomer? And once again, the Gemara now is going to try to deduce it from a Kavachomer. I told you at the beginning of Shir today, the Gemara is going to get a little bit complex. And here we go. Amar Kavachomer, the Gemara now is going to try to offer the following Kavachomer to teach me that I cannot cook an animal in its own milk. Mamba Malkum Shalom Nesar Pri Im Pri Bishchita. Nesar Pri Im Ha'im Bishchita. In a situation where I am looking at one product and another product. Now, the word pre over here literally means fruit. In this case, we just simply mean the product of, right? Offspring, but I'm going to even say more generically, the product of, because you'll see we don't even have to be talking about animals. We can even be talking about anything it produces. So, ma b'makom shelo nesa pri im pri b'shchita. Now, if I took two offsprings of an animal, sibling animals. Of course, there's no issur of shechting them on the same day together because the issur is only for a offspring and its mother. Good. So nesa pri im ha'im b'shchita, and yet the offspring with its mother is going to be asur b'shchita because of osav esbeno. Malkum shenesa pri im pri bebishol. If I were to take the two products of the mother, meaning its child and its milk. And now I know that there's an issur of bishul of not cooking the two products together. Ein odin shenesar pri im ha'ein bebishul. So if I took the product, meaning the milk, and I cooked it together with its source, meaning its mother. So for sure there should be an issur of bishul, and that is the kavachomer. Now, again, the b'raisa over here sounds like it's very happy with the kavachomer. And tam lomar b'chalav imo. And then the Gemara says, and we have a drasha on top of that. The drasha teaches me that because of the ribui, because of the extra expression in the Torah, the extra pasuk in the Torah, we now know that there's an issur of cooking a mother in its very own milk. Now again, we are asking this question today for a third time. Halama likra ha'asyalei. I don't understand. We had a kavachomer. It was a lovely kavachomer, and then we turned to a pasuk. What happened to the kavachomer? So amar avachtubuya bar ami mishum de'ikla meimar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what happened with the kavachomer. So the kavachomer is going to be challenged from the following. Sus ben susya ache preda yochiach. Okay, so here's the family construct, okay? And I have it charted out. And even still, right, I got to follow my own chart. Okay, so I have now a horse that has been breeded with multiple animals. It's been a female horse has been breeded with a horse and also been breeded with a donkey as well. So that means that this horse now is going to have two products, two children. One is going to be a sus and the other one's going to be a mule. Mm-hmm. Now, the sus and the preda, can I mate the two together? Of course, the answer is no. They are two different species, and I'm not allowed to mate them together. Meanwhile, the sus with its mother, and again, we don't literally mean its mother. We mean simply a species of its mother, the same of its mother, that would be okay. So here we just created a scenario in which the products are prohibited to one another, and meanwhile, the product and its mother are permitted to one another, which runs exactly counter to the kavachomer that we made just moments earlier. So good. So now I'm going to read all this inside. Sus ben susya. I'm staring at my chart. So right, sus ben susya. Achei prey to yuchich shasar pri and pri. So the pri together with the pri zasar, as I just described, umutter pri and ma'im. And the pri with his mother is going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, so you see now that the Kal V'chomer is no good. The Gemara says, I don't love the Pircha. Why? Hasam zera avu de kagarin. Because you're not just looking at the products of the mother. You also, in order to understand that case, you have to take the father into consideration. Without the chamor father, there would never have been an issue. The only issue is because there's a chamor father, so basically you've introduced an external problem. Internally to a mother that produces whatever it produces, under normal circumstances, without bringing in an external issue, the products are going to be mutter one with another generally, except of course for basar b'chalav. The products are going to be mutter one with another, and so that leads us to the Kal V'chomer. Your case that you just cited, it only becomes a problem because of the chamor father. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, let's say I had the following scenario. Let's say I had a horse, a female horse, that breeded with a chamor and a chamor. In other words, two different donkeys. And so, what was produced from that is a mule and a mule. Male mule and a female mule. Now, I understand that they are sterile and they're not going to be able to procreate, but still, can I mate the two of them together? The answer, of course, is yes. They are pered upreda. So I could take the peros and breed them together, and meanwhile, can I take the pre and mate it with its mother? And of course, the answer is no. They are two different species. So you see over there that if I equalize the external factors of the father, and I just look at the peros really are fundamentally mutter to one another. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. I'm going to read that again. So, Pered ben Susya ache preda yochich, shemutter pri and pri. The peros are mutter one to another. The pered and the preda are permissible vasa pri and ma'im. But meanwhile, the mother's a horse, and the offspring is a mule, and they can't be mated. So, the Gemara says, basically, I'm rejecting that pircha. And again, now, let's keep in mind what we're trying to do. We have established, with a question on the table, is cooking a mother in its own milk? Is that an Isser min HaTorah? So again, the Brice has said that we have a Kal V'chomer. It kind of liked the Kal V'chomer, didn't say anything bad about it. And then it brought in a drasha. What was wrong with the Kal V'chomer? So, Ella Amar Mar Berei de Ravina Mishum de Ikla Memer, Eved Ben Shivcha, Achei Mishuchreres Yochiach. So the Gemara says, let's talk about a case where I have a Shivcha, that is a mother to a, and we're talking here about an Eved Kenani, Shivcha Kenanis, and I have now its offspring is an Eved, and another offspring, which was a female, which she was free, she is Mishuchreres. So us are pre impre. Now, the two siblings cannot mate. Now, we're talking about humans over here, but again, we're just talking about the halacha. Just focus on the halacha, meaning the son is an Eved Kenani. The daughter now is a Shivcha Mishuchreres, which means that she's a Jew. So I can't mate the two of them. The two of them cannot get together. Umutar pri im ha'em, and meanwhile, the son could be with the mother. Now, again, don't take me literally. It doesn't mean that the son could be with the mother. It means that the son could be with somebody like the mother, meaning the son's an Eved, his mother's a Shivcha. And so that means that he could be with someone who is like his mother, meaning another Shivcha. So the Gemara says, so you see over there, we have just created a construct in which the peros are usher to one another, and meanwhile, the pri is mutter with the source in which he comes from. Okay. And that's the pircha on our Kal V'chomer. And again, the Gemara says, don't love it. Hasam geshechruhu de kagarim. So the Gemara says, again, that's because of an external factor. That's not hardwired into the relationship. It's only because of one of the children, it was freed with a get shechur. So because of an exterior factor, that's why you've created this construct. But and the Gemara says, and I'll make my point even very clearly. Daha eved ben mishuchreres achei shivcha yochich. Shemut priyam privasa priyam aim. Because if I have a eved, the son of the mother who was freed, achei shivcha, so there I have the children who are still in a status of an eved shivcha. They're mutter one to another, and again, not literally, but just simply, they could be with each other's type, and meanwhile, they can't be with their mother, the type of their mother, because their mother is a freed woman. She is a Jew. So again, it has nothing to do with the built-in construct. It has to do with the exterior factor of the get shechur. So Ella Amrav Idi Barav Mishim Deikal Amemar Klai Zarin Yochiach Shasa Pri and Pri Umuta Pri and Ma'im. So the Gemara says, well, okay, how about consider the following? How about seeds? Now, when it comes to seeds, so I can't plant different seeds together. And meanwhile, I could put a seed together with its mother. Now, here it's interesting. Took me a while, even though, right, we did this 7.5 years ago. Took me a while. Who's the mother of the seed? Right. I also spent a moment thinking about it. Right, Rashi gives away the answer. It's going to be pretty clear from the Gemara. The mother in this context is Mother Earth. Right, the ground. The ground is considered the mother in this construct. So the Geshasa Priyam Priyam Mutta Priyam Ma'im. Now I could take a seed and I could put it together with its mother, meaning I could put it in the ground, and meanwhile I can't take seeds and put them together. So the Gemara says, is that really comparable? Of course it's not comparable. Klum Nasar Priyam Apri Allah Yadeh Ha'im. Da'achite Vasari Bekata V'la Mitzurah. No, over there, the mother is literally the fertile ground that creates the Yisr. Let me ask you a question, says the Gemara. If I took wheat and barley and I put it in the same jar together, did I violate the Isser of Kalai HaKerem? Of course the answer is no. Because the Isser is not just simply putting them together. The Isser is growing them together. So it's the ground that creates the Isser. So the Gemara says, obviously, it's not comparable at all. So, Ela Amarav Ashi Mishum De Ikal Amemar Malapri and Pri Shekein Shnei Gufim Tomer Bepri and Ma'em Shekein Guf Echad. So the Gemara says, so ultimately, you know why the Kav HaChomer is challenging and mufrach? Because consider, when we're talking about pri and pri, we're talking about two distinct entities. We're talking in this case about pri and ma'im. A mother in its own milk, the milk is a derivative of the same entity, meaning the mother, and so that is guf echad. So you can't compare pri and pri with pri and ma'im. In this case, pri and ma'im is really one singular entity. So that's why the Kav HaChomer is no good, and that's why we need a pasuk at the end. Amar Rav Ashi. Let's just do a little bit more for this morning. How do I know that you're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav that was cooked together? And again, the question, which I know we've asked already numerous times, but it's all fundamentally rooted in the idea that the Torah never expresses lo sochlu basar b'chalav. The Torah only says lo sevashal gedi b'chalav imo. So how do I know that I'm not allowed to eat it? Good. Now, you're probably going to be more familiar with tomorrow's daf, where the Torah says, where the Gemara in tomorrow's daf says, it says three times in the Torah, lo sevashu gedi b'chalev imo, once for bishul, once for achila, once for hana'a. So that's one approach that comes up in tomorrow's daf. Today's daf is going to give what I would call the less popular answer. Less popular answer, it's going to be hard to articulate. In fact, do you know how hard it's going to be to articulate this answer? It's going to be the remainder of this amud, coupled with most of tomorrow's daf. So if somebody comes over to you and says, how do you know you're not allowed to eat meat and milk that were cooked together? And you tried Rav Ashi's approach, which we're going to start with this morning. So unless he's really interested and he's got a lot of patience and time, he's not going to be able to sit through. But Baruch Hashem, we're interested and we have time. Well, not now, but and so we're going to go through Rav Ashi's answer. I'm Rav Ashi, minayin labasar b'chol shasar b'achil shenem lo sochol kol soeva. The Torah says that you're not allowed to eat anything which is considered an abomination. Anything which is an abomination. By the way, abomination over here, meaning the Torah offers it. If the Torah offers it, that's a toeva. And so therefore, if the Torah labels it as a toeva, the Torah does not want us eating it. So good. So now I know that the basar b'chalav that were cooked together is an abomination. Abomination because the Torah said don't cook it together. So it's a toeva. And so therefore, I'm not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, and how do I know that there's also an Isser of Hana as well? Because there is. There is an Isser of Hana. So Kid Rabbi Abba, Damar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Elazar, Kol Makom Shenemar Lo Yochal, Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu, Echad Isser Achila, Echad Isser Hana. B'mashma. Ad Sheyifor Lecha, Kasav Kedor Shepar Lecha, B'Nevela Leger, B'Nesina, Ula Oved, Kochavim B'Mechira. The default setting of the Torah is, when something is Osir to eat, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. And when is there, and when do we not go with the default? When the Torah says we don't go with the default. Basar b'chalav, so we're at default setting. You're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to benefit from it. Where does the Torah say elsewhere, otherwise? So the Gemara here gives us the classic examples. Nevela. Detanya. The Gemara quotes the Brisa. Lo sochlu kol nevela lager shebesherechet nena va'achla. O machor lenachri. The Torah says in Parshas Re'eh that one is not allowed to eat nevela. What do you do with it? So if you have a ger, right? A resident alien, right? My analogy I always give, right? Green card, meaning someone who's not a citizen per se, but has legal rights to be here. So we also refer to him in halacha as a ger toshav. Okay, he commits himself not to be over to Avodah Zarah, does not have to keep kashrus in the least, and then debate whether or not he has to about all the mitzvahs in between. But let's just right now, we know for sure that he can eat treifas, and he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael, the ger toshav. So asher b'sharachet nenev achla or machor lanachri. Now, so I can either give it to the ger, gift it to the ger, or sell it to a non-Jew. Now, what allowance do I have, if any, to sell it to the ger? We could just basically move the comma over in the pasuk. How do I know that I can gift it to a guy? So, again, we're moving the comma over. Comes out that according to Rav Meir, when I have nevela, I can gift it to a ger or to a nachri. I could sell it to a ger or to a nachri. Rabbi Yehuda amar dvarim kechsavam leger benesina lo vekochavim bemechira. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, do not move the comma around in that pasuk. Keep the pasuk as literal as you can. When you have a ger, gift it to him. When you have a nachri, sell it to him. So my time at the Rav Yehuda Isakadach Kedan Kamer Rav Meir Lichter Vachman Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela Lager Shiva Sherecha Titnena Vachla Umachor O Lamali. And as far as Rav Yehuda's rejection of Rav Meir, why does the Torah introduce the word O, which clearly is breaking up the pasuk? So Shema Minol Advarim Kichzavamhu Daasa Lager Benesim Lo Vekocham Mechira. The O is there to tell us, keep it separate. If I have a ger, gift it. If I have a nachri, sell it. Now, as far as Rav Meir is concerned, the word O in the pasuk over there is just to tell me priority. The first option, if I have nevela, is to gift it to a ger. My second option, if that's not available, sell it to a guy. Rav Yehuda agrees, but he doesn't need a pasuk to arrive at that conclusion. When you have a ger toshel living in Eretz Yisrael, we have a mandate to take care of that person and to support that person. So it's clear then that if given the option of I have an avail, what should I do with it? Should I gift it to the ger? Should I sell it to the nachri? Rav Yehuda says, pashut, that you should gift it to the ger rather than sell it to the nachri. So I don't need the O there to give me that directive. Therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, what is the O coming to tell me? Dvarm kich savam. Either or, but I don't have a choice. Meaning either gift it to the ger or sell it to the nachri, but you cannot gift it to the nachri nor sell it to the ger.